start the story that we're going to look at today, which is Jesus being anointed by Mary in Bethany. I had a conversation with our youngest daughter, Hannah, this morning. It's been on my mind, so I'm trusting it's a God thing to be talking about it today. Sometimes my filter doesn't work. We were chatting, and so at the end, I just said the conversation. I said, you could be praying for me today because I'm speaking on this morning. And she said, oh, what are you praying about? And I said, oh, just turn or burn. And we sort of had that sort of reaction of it's sort of a glib kind of a comment, the turn or burn message. And I was thinking, you know, as a church, Easter's coming up. We put a sign up on the roundabout, right? And I wonder if as a church, you know, turn or burn. And we do that, right? We think, well, no. But, you know, it's part of the story, right? It's part of the story. But it's not the whole story. And then I was thinking, well, we can go the other, you know, get another sign. And God loves you very, 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 so much. And we could put that sign at the roundabout. And I go, well, that's a big part of the story, too. But that's only part of the story. And I think our, if it's a challenge is the right word, but as we present the gospel, that we recognize there's two sides to that story. There's the incredible love of our Father for us. But if the message isn't that he loved us so much that he gave his son, the message that God loves us, sin separates us, right? Christ paid for the sin and the choice, we've been hearing it this morning, the choice of everlasting life with our Father or choosing a Christless eternity is so real. And I just, this morning, I was thinking about that and just talking about this morning that, and I think sometimes the turn or burn part is one that we shy away from, and we have this tendency to talk a lot about God loves us, which he does. And so just my encouragement for us as a church to be reminded of the great news of God's love and that great news of God's love at the cross and the resurrection. So that was a little bit on my radar this morning. We're going to be taking a look at the story of Jesus being anointed by Mary in Bethany. I'm going to be reading from Mark 14, 1-9, if you have your Bibles there. Just also going to mention that this account is in other, Matthew talks about this, John talks about this. So all their stories are pretty close to the same, but there's some different details that we're going to be pulling from each one. And I just want us to remember that we're not going to be taking a look at what makes the stories different as much as what makes the stories the same. If you are interested, the other ones, it's Matthew 26, 6-13, and John 12, 1-11, if you want to keep those and just be passing back and forth as I speak this morning. This is the account as Mark presents it. Mark 14, verse 1. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why waste this? Why the waste of this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." A question for you. How many of you like going to the doctor for health checkups? Okay. Second question, how many of you think that going to the doctor for health checkups is a good thing to do? Good answer for most of you. Those of you who didn't have your hand up, you're wrong. It is a good thing for you to be doing, so make sure you're doing that. And I've got some good news, I think, for today, is that as we look at this story of Jesus and Mary and the disciples and the others, there's going to be a bit of a health care checkup that I'm going to be asking myself and you to take a look at as we take a look at this story. And two of the tags, if you will, for the story are going to be Bethany. So when you hear me talking about Bethany, that's going to be related to a health care checkup. And then if you hear me talk about doing versus devotion as a tag, that is going to be the other health care checkup that we're going to be talking about. So let's get started. Passover. Passover was near. For those of you who may not be aware, Passover was a major Jewish festival that all Jewish males were required to attend. It was done, held in Jerusalem. And so at this time, thousands of people would be coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Jerusalem would be jam-packed with people coming to celebrate Passover. And at the center, one of the main parts of the Passover celebration was this Passover meal. And at the center of the Passover meal was the recognition of the Passover lamb. Passover was talking about God's faithfulness in delivering his people that he had promised. They had 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And God said, I am going to, at some point, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to set you free from slavery. And this is a story that they remembered that God set them free. And it was the last night, and God was going to send the angel of death to take every firstborn male. And he told the people, he said, this is what you need to do. You need to take a lamb, a one-year-old lamb without blemish, as close as you can get to a perfect lamb. You're going to kill it. And you're going to take the blood of that lamb, and you're going to wipe it over your doorframes and your doorposts. And when the angel of death comes across the land, the angel of death, when he sees that Passover lamb's blood, the angel will pass over your house and not take your firstborn male. And so that's what they were remembering, was God's faithfulness in that. And that was the straw that broke Pharaoh's back to set his people free, to set God's people free. And so with Passover lamb and the Passover celebration, a big part of that was talking about the sacrifice of this innocent lamb to save the people. We're going to come back to that hopefully in a bit. First tag, Bethany. Bethany was a little place about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, east of Jerusalem. And our story is has Jesus in Bethany, and Jesus is at a friend's house for a dinner being given in his honor. And we hear from the other writers, from Matthew and from John, there were other people in attendance. There was obviously Jesus was the guest of honor. There was a Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead. There was Simon, who was healed from his leprosy. There was Martha. There was Mary, who were the sisters of Lazarus. And there were his disciples. So that was sort of the guest list for this party. And I think if you had asked Jesus in all of his travels, like he had 3 years of earthly ministry, and he traveled from Judea in the south to Galilee in the north, through Samaria, over the Jordan into Decapolis, across the Jordan, 3 years of traveling through all of that land, and traveling by foot, which I might add, can you imagine 3 years of walking around, all of that by foot? Crazy. If you would have asked Jesus what one of his most special places to be, I think he would have said Bethany. I think he would have said Bethany was his home away from home. I think he would have said Bethany was his oasis, if you will. A place where he experienced rest and renewal. And I think he would have said that because when he was traveling all over the rest of the land, Bethany was away from the religious leaders and the Pharisees and those people that were persecuting him, those people that were always tricking him, the people who were just not supporting him, didn't believe him, all of the conflict that he would be dealing with. You just get tired of it, right? How many of you get tired of conflict? That was Jesus' life, a lot of it, in dealing with these Pharisees and religious leaders. And I'm sure he just got tired of dealing with that. And as much as he loved the lost and as much as he loved the crowds, I'm sure he got tired of just people needing him. Needing him for healing, just needing to hear the good news. He talks about crowds of thousands of people coming, and he healed all of them. And I think there's a time in Jesus' life where he was just going, I'm tired. I'm tired of the crowds. The rejection. And that Bethany was a place where he experienced friendship. These were his closest friends. When Lazarus died and Martha and Mary came to him, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. He wept. This was a place where he had fellowship with people that cared about him, where he had acceptance, where he was honored, where he was worshiped as the master. A place he liked hanging out, a place he liked to be. And my first health, heart health tag is I ask myself and I ask you, how is your heart regarding Bethany? Is my heart a Bethany heart for Jesus? Is my heart a place where Jesus is welcomed? Is my heart a Bethany heart where Jesus likes to hang out? Where he's honored? Where there's fellowship? He's not just in there. Don't invite Jesus in and then just, hi, Jesus, glad you're here. I got my phone here. I'll just be. But a place where he experiences fellowship, friendship, all of those things. This is a good time of year to ask myself, maybe for you to ask yourself, what condition is your Bethany heart in? The second tag is duty or devotion. I try to imagine the scene that night when they're having the celebration meal with Jesus. And it would have been a situation where you had Jesus as the guest of honor. There would have been Lazarus and Simon. There would have been the disciples. And all these people would have been around a low-profile table in the room. And they would have all been laying, reclining is the word, because the custom of that day was people reclined at the table. So they would have been leaning or laying on a mat on the floor. And the custom was that they would have been had their feet away from the table. Because feet in that day, as they're doing all their walking, would be a place where it's just you didn't want to hang around people's feet. And they would have been leaning on their left arm. And part of that was they only used their right hand for eating. The left hand was the business hand. And so that would have been part of the scene, was just seeing these men all around reclined at the table. And then I try to imagine, what were they talking about? Like, we get one little snippet of the evening here. I go, what did they talk about for hours? Right? What are they talking about? And I think, you know what? They're people. We had the Haywoods over on Friday. Right? Didn't want to honor them, but we had them over. But it was an evening just getting together. What do we talk about when we get together? Well, there's usually some pretty common themes. Sometimes it's those reminiscing. Hey, remember when? How many of you ever had done that with friends when they come over? The remember when stories, right? Or it could be, hey, how are you doing? What's new? That's usually a pretty common. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, oh my goodness, can you imagine the disciples talking about the Remember When stories with Jesus? Oh, yeah, remember that time when Jesus invited us up on the hill and all of a sudden he just turned into this big glowing, he just started glowing and this clouds came down and this booming voice came and we were like scared. This is my son. And then Moses showed up and Elijah. Whoa. Oh, yeah, remember that time that it was daytime and Jesus said to the guys, take your boats out in the daytime, drop your nets to fish. And we're going, Jesus, we're fishermen. You don't fish in the day. You don't catch fish in the day. And we went out, we dropped our nets, and they almost sunk both our boats. Or how about that time there was like 10,000 people on the mountainside, and Jesus says to us, feed them. And you're going, we just got this kid with a lunch. And he fed 10,000 people, and we had food left over. Can you imagine? And the healings. Oh yeah, that time we were on the water and the storm. And we were rowing and we were afraid. And what happened? Jesus comes by as we thought he was a ghost walking on the water. And then Peter, remember, you got out and walked on the water. Like those stories could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours. Puts my, hey, remember when stories? Pretty pale in comparison. And then the stories about, hey, how are you doing? What's new? Looking across the table, there's Simon. A while ago, he had leprosy. His life was over. He was an outcast. And here he is sitting at the table. Simon, how's it going since Jesus healed you? And then, Lazarus. Yeah. Oh, Lazarus, what's new? 4 days in the tomb. What would you want to talk to somebody who had been dead for 4 days and was back to life sitting at the table with you? It's mind-blowing for me to think about what that... I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and just hear. Or maybe it was just things like talking about the Passover. Talking about what was coming up. Linda, would you put that John 1, or the John passage? Thank you. So this is what's happening in my understanding of the need. So they're having these conversations. They're having this fellowship around the table. And then sometime during the evening, could have been before, could have been after the meal, sometime Mary is in the room. And you know, if it wasn't Mary, that would be unusual for a woman to be in a room with a bunch of guys. But Mary was unusual. And the guys knew it. And so, yeah, oh, there's Mary. And then she went and she sat at Jesus' feet. That's unusual for another woman. Oh, but that's Mary. We've seen her at Jesus' feet before. And I think they just would have forgotten about Mary because that's just what Mary did. Mary hung around with Jesus. And they would have kept on with their little conversations. And that dinner conversation kept going until something shocked them into silence. I believe they were just having their, whatever they were doing, talking, and all of a sudden something shocked them into silence. And that something was this fragrance, that all of a sudden in the room there was this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful smell. And they all stopped, and they were like, and then they looked at Mary. They looked at Mary. And what they saw was this woman with her hair down. And they're like, she's got her hair down. She has her hair down. Women in Jesus' day in public did not put their hair down. It was this complete act of humility, having her hair down. And then they look, and they say she's wiping his feet. This thing that only servants touched, really. And she's wiping his feet with her hair. This was a servant's job. Total disregard for what others might think of her. And then they notice that she is wiping this beautiful, expensive perfume, this pure nard, that she's broken the alabaster jar and she's pouring it on Jesus' feet. And she's wiping his feet with her hair. And they're still in disbelief. And then she gets up and she brings the rest of the alabaster jar and she pours it on Jesus' head. A sacred moment. A sacred moment. This act of extravagant love that Mary is showing for Jesus, that they are witnessing. And what is the silence of that God moment broken with? What is that silence broken with? Mary! Why this waste? Why this waste? That expensive perfume could have been sold and the money used for the poor. That's the tone. It says that the disciples and Judas were indignant. They were annoyed. They were angry when they saw this. And they rebuked her harshly. Rebukes a strong word. Harshly is even a stronger word. It wasn't like, oh, Mary, what are you doing? You know, we could have taken that perfume and sold it. They rebuked her harshly in that moment of sacredness. The different gospel writers, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, Judas, obviously, they say, I mean, he was poison. His heart was poison. He was just in it for the money. He had no regard for the poor. I don't want to spend much time with Judas, but I do want to talk about the other disciples. They were in on it. I don't think they had the heart of Judas with regards to it's about me getting money, but they had missed the point. I think they were still thinking, yeah, that money could have been used to help the poor. That's what we're about. We're out helping the poor. Jesus hasn't been telling us, help the poor. The main point is that they all missed the sacredness of the moment. They all missed that it was about extravagant love. And they all missed that it was about honoring Jesus. So a big question for me and for you today, one of the big questions is, how did they miss it and Mary didn't? How did they miss it and Mary didn't? And I think the main answer is that the disciples were just not tuned in to Jesus. The disciples were not tuned into Jesus. And Mary was. Mary was. You would think the disciples would be. They've been spent 3 years with the guy, 24/7 almost. They should be tuned into the guy. And yet this crazy thing is they weren't. And we see it in other places. I'm just going to read Mark. It's amazing how they missed the point. Mark 10:13, Jesus and the little children. You guys know the story. What was happening? People were bringing their kids to Jesus because they wanted him, bringing their children, little children, to have Jesus touch them. What did the disciples do? They rebuked him. Jesus says, bring the kids to me. The disciples are going, no, these kids, they're not important. They missed the heart of Christ. Right? They missed him. Mark 10. 32. They're on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus leading the way. And what's Jesus talking about? He says again, he took the 12 aside. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They're going to condemn him to death. They're going to hand him over to the Gentiles. They're going to mock him. They're going to spit on him. They're going to flog him. They're going to kill him. And 3 days later, he's going to rise. That's not really a pleasant scenario. Jesus telling his 12 closest friends, this is what's going to happen to me when I go to Jerusalem. If you told your 12 best friends that that was going to happen to you, what would you be hoping for, maybe? A little sympathy? A little, What did James and John? James and John. They come to him and they say, we want you to do what we want you to ask. And he says, what do you want? Let us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. Pardon? I just told you I'm going to be spit on, you know, spat, flogged on, killed. And you're asking me to sit, you want to sit at my right and left hand in glory? Are you even listening to what I'm telling you? They missed the heart of Christ, what he was going through. Yeah, he said, I'm going to rise again in 3 days. But man, the stuff before that was just like, oh. They're carrying on. They come to Jericho, blind Bartimaeus. At the side of the road. They're coming through. He's sailing, he's blind, sitting there. Jesus, Son of David, heal me. He's crying it out. Help me. And what do they say to him? Be quiet. Be quiet. And Jesus has to stop and say, hey, hello. Bring him to me. And he heals him. And so it goes. I'm glad these disciples have put these stories because, man, if I was thinking, you know what, these stories don't paint a very good picture of us who were his closest friends. We missed him. And I'm so thankful for that because that's me, too. That's me, too. And Jesus never stopped loving him, never gave up on him. I think without intentions, the heart of ministry for the disciples came about business and budgets, became about managing people rather than about serving a Savior. In that familiarity, the heart of ministry became about doing things rather than devotion to the Master. They got him flipped around. Devotion to the Master first leads us to be doing things for him. And he just flipped those around. And they lost the connection with Jesus' heart. But Mary didn't. Luke 10, remember the story. Earlier on in Jesus' life, he was in Bethany. He was visiting Martha and Mary's house. He had his disciples with him. They're going to have a meal. They're in the house. Where's Mary? With the guys. At Jesus' feet. Martha's in the kitchen. She's getting the meal ready. Do, do, do. Martha goes, Jesus, tell my sister to come and give me a hand. There's stuff to be done here. And she's sitting there at your feet. And this is such a great, great response that Jesus has. And I have to believe it is just one of the more loving comments. It's not a harsh rebuke at all. And he says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. Mary chose devotion over doing. And what about this night? I wonder, did Mary know ahead of time that she was going to do this anointing? Did she know ahead of time that she was going to take this perfume worth a year's wages? Like, that's a lot of money. Or I wonder if she just, during the evening, she just recognized that Jesus wasn't himself. Maybe it was while the conversation was going on among the disciples, and she looked, you know, and he says, he's not just engaged in that conversation as much as he used to be. He's not sort of laughing, he's not talking as much as he normally did when we got together for these meals. His body language, maybe she just, there had to be something in Jesus' eyes. There was a sorrow in Jesus' eyes. Maybe it's because they were talking about the Passover and this Passover lamb. And maybe Jesus, he knew this was his last Passover. He knew that. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew he was going to be the perfect Passover lamb in a very short time. And maybe that's what Mary was picking up on. This vibe of this man who just wants a big hug. This man who wants people to go, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. And whether it was spontaneous or pre-planned, for Jesus, Mary's act of extravagant love was a beautiful blessing. It was a beautiful blessing. If you go back to Mark 14, Mark's in the New Testament, right? Just kidding. And what is Jesus' response when they had rebuked her harshly? He says, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. Quit bothering her. She's done a beautiful, beautiful thing to me. The poor you're always going to have with you. You can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. And I believe this was how big the blessing was in Christ's experience. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. That's how big that moment was. For Jesus, where Mary got it and the disciples didn't. So my last little heart health tag, doing or devotion. I ask myself and I ask you to ask yourself the same question. Is my life with Jesus, as I'm following Jesus, is it more about doing or devotion? Is it more about the works or the worship? Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord, we've been remembering this morning a lot about your love for us and your sacrifice for us. And that you never give up on us. And I pray, first of all, Lord, for a message of encouragement for each person here of your incredible love. Father, how much you, Michael, mentioned about being sons and daughters, that you love us that much. And yet, Lord, we just pray together that you would help us take that look at our hearts around Bethany. And God, we want our hearts to be Bethany hearts. We want our hearts to be a heart that you want to be hanging out in, a heart where you're welcomed, there's fellowship, you're worshipped, you're honored. Cultivate that, Lord, in our hearts. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. Would you do that for us, for your glory? And Lord, we just pray. I speak for myself, maybe others here, that sometimes I get the order mixed up. That my life with you is just more about the works. It's more about the doing than it is about leaning into you and knowing you more. Would you help me? Would you help others here? And cultivating that heart of Mary in our lives. And all of that, Lord, not to make ourselves more prideful, but that we just be more like you. And that this church would be more like you. And that more lost would come home. And more prodigals would come home. Yeah. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.